Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Can you hear me okay? I'm using a different pair of earbuds.
Yes, you sound loud and clear.
Okay. So here's our assignment from yesterday. You will never be happy if you continue to search for what happiness consists of. You will never live if you're looking for the meaning of life. Today, stop searching and looking. Practice being and receiving. Set your timer to go off 3 times during the day and record your experience of the happiness of being alive to the glory of existence.
Being alive to the glory of existence. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi. It's Anna from the UK.
Well, hello.
Hello.
You're home safe and sound.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I've been quite tired this week. I was sort of straight back in at work. Got a long weekend now, so I'm going to do lots of reflecting and looking back on my stay and everything. But yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, it was wonderful having you with us. So, anytime.
I had the most wonderful time, and I've come back completely excited and about everything.
good.
yeah. I must just say, it's my birthday today, and so for me.
Oh, happy birthday!
Thank you. And I'm having International Day of No Fear. So.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So I'm having fun with that. So regarding yesterday's quote, looking at the happiness of being alive to the glory of existence. So I'm not at work today, so that's great. So that was one gift. And I'm just joining in with the general not going into work thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I like to do, and I don't always get the time to do, is just to go walking, and just sensing everything, and then drawing it, and so I do some sketching when I'm out, and then I come back and I do some more. And I was thinking that I drew some flowers today, some wildflowers, and what it is sort of as I'm drawing, I'm communicating with the flower in whatever form that is, and the beingness of the flower, the aliveness of the flower, enters my heart and shares its glory of existence. And when I'm back in the studio, if I carry on with that, even if it might be a week later, I might go back and do a little bit, and it takes me straight back to that feeling, to being outside. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what you're describing is the being with that often people experience, if not for the first time, then at least have the ability to experience regularly. With recording and listening, because when you're completely there in the way you're describing, then you it's not that you go back to it exactly, it's that you sort of return to it for the first time. I don't have the language to describe how something that ostensibly is from the past is not of the past at all. It's absolutely present. But that's what you're experiencing with it. You just go right there.
Yeah, I love that.
Or right here.
It's like everything, I don't know, everything that ever is and that ever was is always there now.
Yes, it's right here. All we need to do is turn attention to it and we are here with it.
Yeah.
It's it's astounding, staggering, whatever is, wow, who would have ever thought? Yeah.
Mm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. Yeah, so I've been enjoying just being and receiving, so thank you.
All right, well, thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you. I will. No worries, I will.
All right, good. And happy birthday.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday, Anna. It's just, it's wonderful to recognize that everything that ever was or ever will be is in the moment of now. So it's never the past. It's just held in the process of the eternal now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it's here for us.
Yes. Yeah. And my experience of that, or that the language that comes to me around that, is that all of the processes of life are always all the processes of life. So a moment of beauty or recognition of presence or a quality of it is always there. It's not that we're going back to the content, but we're going back to the process, and therefore it's always available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Oh. Here's our next caller. Ooh, sorry, Sherry, give me 1 second.
Yeah.
The queue just jumped around a little.
I know. It's high level what you're doing.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, are you there?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hi, Greta.
You don't sound that happy
about it.
Well, no, because my phone just jumped around.
Everything's jumping around. Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm calling in the app, and when I touched the phone, it went to the app instead of the, so I can't get off the speaker. But I'm trying.
You sound great. No, you sound great.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Woo, phew.
Yeah.
New
phones,
new technology makes us.
Oh,
with Mercury, a little challenge.
Right? It is. Keeps us on our toes.
Oh, my goodness. Keeps us, going back to that breath place. Yeah, so I had a similar experience to the first caller in the sense of going outside for a walk at a different time of day for me and just, you know, this one sort of flash of, wow, that looks kind of different in this afternoon light or the way the clouds are or whatever. You know, it was just something was different enough to catch my attention. And I always record and listen when I'm walking and try to do the assignment. So it was really perfect to just go, wow, you know, here I walk this place almost every day, and yet there's something that I'm seeing for the first time, which, like you pointed out, you are.
Yes, we are, whether we think we are or not, right? Some things we think, there's that, and don't realize I'm seeing it for the first time. Sometimes it's really clear I am. Who put that there?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the other way that I saw this assignment was this morning of kind of getting up late and rushing to the cushion and then having sort of that feeling like you do when you slept in a little bit and you had these weird dreams first thing in the morning. So just trying to settle in and then just watching sort of the condition process of, this isn't right, I shouldn't feel this way, I've got to get here, and then conditioning trying to get here, and realizing that assignment from yesterday of, you know, we're not looking for happiness, we're not seeking for these things, we're just with what is, as it is, and just dropping all of that was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And there are two elements of that. One, yes, first and foremost, what you're describing, and second, if we realize that So, you know, Sagurus, Belunker, and there you are, down in the bowels of the earth, going along these caves, and it's really important that you find your way out, right? You really don't want to lose track of where you are, and so a big part of that is paying really close attention to where you are, so that you recognize it, so that you know where you are. And the same process it applies with awareness practice. And one of the things conditioning works really hard to get people to do is, oh God, I don't want to be here. Okay, how do I get, and we miss the opportunity that's there to, number one, find out where we are, recognize where we are, make peace with where we are, and lose that belief that there's something wrong with where I am and that I need to get away from it. So as you say, to recall that as you're sitting there and realize, oh, wait, my job is just to be with, then all of that is accomplished in one little shift of attention.
Right, that's very helpful. And the other thing that I was reminded of as I finished sitting and I reached for the recorder is just that switch, you know, the light switch, that analogy for the recorder is just so helpful, because it's like, yeah, I know if I go for the recorder, everything changes. And it's just like going for the cushion, things are starting to change because I'm very intentional about that. You know, so every time, as you have been saying, we're choosing this different fork where we are asserting our intention toward life, then it feels much easier once we get there. So, yes, we're trying to map our way out and we want to make sure we see where we're going. But I think, as you've been saying, we don't want to focus all our attention on the getting out part, right?
Right.
If you're following me. What you've been saying is how we put too much attention on conditioned mind. We have to move our attention to this place where we can know and trust the process that's going to take us where we need to go regardless.
Precisely. And the moment that we turn our attention to where we are, now we're here.
Yeah,
we're out of any difficulty. We're just here. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, exactly. So because
Go ahead.
I just watched conditioning trying to pull me in like the quicksand. That was another image that came up. You know, when you go, the theory is when you go into quicksand, if you struggle, it'll just make it worse. And that was the feeling that I got when I was looking at something that I had to do, as I was starting to resist it, and it was just making it worse.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it is. So we're spelunking and we're avoiding the quicksand. That seems like fun.
Yes. Yeah, it's such an adventure. Such an adventure. And we use words like magical. And people probably, you know, until they get the magic, roll their eyes. But when we see the kind of thing that we're exploring right now, it is magic. It is the most beautiful form of magic. That there you are, feeling stuck, and all you have to do is say yes, and you're free. Now, if that isn't a good magic trick, I don't know what is.
Well, I know another great magic trick, and that is you and Ashwini on the radio every morning carrying the whole sangha with you. It's just fabulous. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Greta. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. Oh, give me chills. That conversation was just so such an embodiment of the way of transformation, that trust in the process, that takes us where we want to go, which is always here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No matter what, right? Which is why you're pointing to the way of transformation. It doesn't matter whether it's a relatively benign little, I've got to do that chore and I don't want to, or it feels like your fingernails are being pulled out. The content doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All we need to do is get here and we're safe. This is the refuge. This is the harbor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love what you and Greta were looking at, that happiness is not a standard to achieve. Presence mm-hmm. is. You know, the confusion that if I'm happy, I'm not having the right experience, as opposed to the right experience is whatever the experience is that I'm having, which goes to the core of the assignment.
Yes, and when I'm present, now here's another magic piece. When I'm present, I will be happy. So it's one of the, you can't go after it, but once it reveals itself, you realize that it's always been there.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another
caller. I can see why, Ashwini, when people first encounter Zen, conditioning can take them to a no, I don't get it, and we don't. Talk about the right experience. You know, if you encounter practice and you don't get it, you are definitely having the right experience. If you think you get it, you've missed the point utterly.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Karen from Wisconsin.
Well, hello.
Hello.
What's going on now?
What's that?
What's going on now?
Well, I'm just feeling joy and the excitement of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the reminder of being and receiving, that
uh-huh.
that's enough. And not figuring it out. And
uh-huh.
I really have had it, like, almost created an identity around what is the meaning of life? Like, knowing myself as a person who's constantly in the question of that. So I like, mm-hmm. I really like the assignment yesterday. Like, oh, you could totally miss life.
Yes. Yes. In a conversation about the meaning of life in conditioned mind with ego. Yes. Because you notice that whatever you're experiencing, when you're in that orientation with that identity, whatever you're experiencing isn't it.
Yeah.
Right? There's always going to be something wrong with it, and you have to be able to identify that and then figure out what you do instead. And, yeah, then we can just miss life completely.
And yeah, and there's satisfaction in just being with what is.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I created unhappiness with like this meaning of life conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'd only want to talk about that. And it's not everybody does.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. And was it a peace quote? I don't think it was part of this class. The peace quote about thinking myself into unhappiness. Was that this class or the peace quote or what?
No, maybe it was the peace quote, but in being and receiving.
Yeah. Oh, well, the one I was actually referring to is the whoever it was who talked about that he thought himself into unhappiness a million times, but never been able to think himself into happiness once.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And he's pointing at the same process as this, right? So that what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of this? Is this it? Is this the meaning of life? Who knows the meaning of life? I mean, it can set us on a path, right? It's the it it it's it's a good friend in that it causes us to question, because you might have noticed that there were times when, I'll just own it for myself, perhaps not you, I was completely unconscious. None of it occurred to me. Right? I don't know what I was doing, actually, just living out karma. And then when that questioning dropped in, when it occurred to me that there was a possibility of something more, something different, that was great. But then we have to know when to drop that and actually do the work of being present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And then there's just life as it is.
And then there's just life as it is. Yep. Just life as it is. Yeah. And the Wendell Berry quote, again, I think it was a peace quote, but I just want you to sort me out on this if I'm off track here. But the one about enjoying this moment. It could all be over in a second.
Can we
enjoy this moment? And if we're not present to life, the answer is no, we can't. And then it's over and we've missed it. And And if we add to that the realization that being here, and again, this is the result of practicing and proving this to ourselves, that being here is as happy as we can be, as satisfied and fulfilled and complete as we can possibly be. So then the desire to chase promises put forth by ego just fall away, because why would I want to give up this for a promise of something that has never been delivered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right. Well,
thank you.
Take care.
Karen.
Bye-bye.
That reminds me of another quote from Joseph Campbell, that we're not actually looking for the meaning of life. We're looking for the experience of being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's it, that being present is the experience of being alive for whatever it is that experiences, because that is life in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can squeeze another caller in, Cherry. So here we go.
Oh, let's squeeze them.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Jane in Colorado.
Well, good morning, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Thank you so much. I am full of gratitude for Project Joy again. Yes, it's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I am seeing that I have a technical question of sorts. The Camus quote got me looking inside, and I realized that with the class, I'm not doing as much direct conversation with the mentor. This sounds so funny. I'm going to try to put this in words that are understandable, but that I've done a lot of two-handed with the mentor, and my recordings that I'm doing daily with the year long, it's more me just talking. And so I
and
just
do you then
to
listen?
Ask, and I listen. Not yes,
okay.
I absolutely listen. So it's interesting, because before, I'm just exploring this, because I know the mentor is within me and a part of me, but when I do the two-handed, it's more like I'm taking in the mentor in a more direct way. This probably doesn't make sense, but I really appreciate
that. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And so let me ask you this, and this is... It's kind of odd, because it's so subjective that it's not it's not really a question that can be answered. It's a place to look. And that do you sense a difference in the quality of what happens when you're in conversation with the mentor and when you're simply going around in life? it with the recordings? Talk, you know, you're talking, you're listening. Is there a tremendous difference there?
Conditioning would say there is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, that was, yeah, that dropped in really quickly that, yes, there is a difference.
Yeah, yeah, and so that's what I would ask you to explore. Because, and here's the reason, and why I ask you if you're listening, okay? So if there's something going on, and you're unhappy or you're struggling or whatever, and you get into a conversation with the mentor to assist you to a place of clarity and presence, right? And you can feel the shift. You know, you were identified with ego and over there in a suffering place, and then your attention shifts to the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates, and that's where you are now, and that sort of thing. To me, what the Buddha taught is that it is possible for us to end suffering. Now, that's lost on a lot of people, and a lot of them Buddhists, because the belief is that life, because he said life is suffering, that means forever and always, world without end, amen, you're going to suffer because you're alive. But what he said is, that is so. That is the possibility that's here, and it is what just about everything that lives experiences. All right? But it's possible to end suffering. And that's what we're doing with practice. Right? So when you are struggling and suffering and you reach out to the wisdom, love, and compassion, you come back to center. The conditioning would say, so you need to keep finding things to suffer over so that you can reach out to the mentor and come back to center. No. What we can practice doing is living at center. And part of that can be just like with what we're doing on these calls. We're looking at these perspectives that are so inspiring that in and of themselves can bring us right back to center. And then we're practicing being there and staying there. And we talk about, when we talk, we're talking about what it's like to be here present in life. We listen to that, and we can tell with practice whether that is, in fact, coming from a place of loving kindness and gratitude and compassion and presence, if that's where we are, or if we've slid off a little, and then we are recalibrating, as Ashwini likes to say. Yeah.
Oh my. I just had this significant shift of my focus on being. I think I had a part of me that was trying to connect with the mentor, as opposed to just being in life. And what I heard you say was the mentor's role is to help me get to center. And if I'm already at center, I don't need the mentor. I'm not sure that's the right language, but
right.
The mentor is merged in me, or you know, I don't.
That's right.
Yeah,
you have reached the mentor. The mentor is a personification of center.
And the mentor is just life, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Here, so if I'm in life, then I don't need the mentor. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. This probably sounds like a superb conversation that's not necessary, but this has really
helped me.
Thank
you.
Oh,
no. It is very necessary. Very necessary. Yeah. And so keep practicing and playing with it, and then let me know what you see.
Thank you. And I'm so excited I get to see you both live in Asheville. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's right. We're going to see you soon.
You.
Very exciting.
Thank you.
All right. Take
thank
care,
you.
Jane.
Deep bow.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thanks, Jane. Oh, that's just lovely. When we wake up to the fact that we know how to make the movement from identification to center, and wow, we can live from there. And to calibrate to that experience is such an amazing movement, too.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it makes practice so fun and exciting.
Yes. Yes. Yes, but it's sort of like the awareness that I'm not just an identification with conditioned mind. Life is all of me, and wow, those are the aspects of life that awareness can be aware of as I'm living.
Yes, yes.
It was,
and it's one of those kinds of things that either you know, it's a kashyapa. Either you know what the person is talking about and realize that that language is absolutely perfect for the experience, or you don't. And if we're students of Zen and we realize I don't know what that person is talking about at all, then that's just something that we know we're going to grow into. Somebody said in the email class, said it so beautifully, talked about how I may not be where other people are, but I either have been or I will be soon.
Mm.
And that's there it is. Whatever the experience somebody is having, either I recognize that experience and can go to where they are, or I don't, and without letting conditioning have an opinion about that, I just realized that, oh, wow, well, that's something to look forward to. You know, there's going to come a day when I understand what that sentence means, because it'll be my experience too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that turning point of becoming truly spiritual instead of going to self-hate because we don't have that experience. It becomes the fuel of our determination and willingness to keep seeking it until it gets revealed to us. And it will. Yeah,
exactly. And it will. It will, yes. All we need to do is keep showing up.
That's the intentionality that Greta was talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. I know we're having too much fun here.
For today, and then we'll see each other on Monday. So
yeah.
Concentration camps can remember those who walk through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way.
Wow.
Today, practice that last of the human freedoms by choosing unconditional love in each moment. Don't let anything rob you of your freedom to choose to be present and in love. Record and listen how choosing unconditional love transforms a moment, a day, a life.
So extraordinary, isn't it?
Mm. Yes.
All right. And then we have two more assignments, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and then, good Lord willing, we'll all be back together like this on Monday and have lots to talk about.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sherry. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too, Ashwini. And everybody, thank you so much. Go happy.
Take care.